giving today. We all have a lot to be thankful for. No matter who you are, you have so much to be thankful for. No matter what you're going through today, what life has, the cards life has dealt you, you still have a lot to be grateful for. And whether you're a Christian or not, you should be grateful and thankful for what God is doing just in your life. And as a Christian, I'm grateful that he saved me. And I think that's what we're going to talk about as much as anything today. But we're here to offer up a sacrifice of thanksgiving this morning. And it is certainly, I'm glad you're here today. Psalms 116, verse 17 says this, I will offer thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. And I know we're entering the holiday season, and Thanksgiving's just a few weeks away and a designated day for Thanksgiving. But honestly, as a Christian, we probably, well, not just probably, I'm just going to say it, you should give thanks every day for what God's doing in your life. You have so much to be thankful for. Everybody goes through trials and tribulations, but that doesn't stop you from giving thanks. The Bible fact is, says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. In everything give thanks. So that means when you something going wrong, you give thanks. I like that movie. That was it. What's that, Missy? You posted that this week about the Giants, the facing the Giants, and they made that decision. The coach did. If they win, they're going to give thanks. If they lose, they're going to give thanks. But in everything, they're going to give thanks. Regardless of how tough it is, they're going to give thanks. They're just going to thank God and be grateful people for what God has done. So we want to talk about that a little bit today. There's a lot of thanks, thoughts of thanksgiving in Psalms chapter 103 through 118. It's just full of it. You go through there and read it, you find it almost every chapter talks about being grateful, being thankful. Being thankful to God, not just thankful to some person, but be thankful to an almighty God that is meeting needs and taking care of you. So, and the Bible's full of expressions about thanksgiving. It's absolutely full of it. And so we are all encouraged to be thankful. Every single one of us. And I know we're tempted sometimes not to give thanks. We are prone, so it seems, to grumble more than give thanks, to complain about things more than we give thanks about things, finding the bad in a situation rather than finding the good in the situation. But we should look for the good in every situation, because God is a good God that loves you so very much that he's going to work. If you're a Christian, there's Romans 8:28 comes into play. All things work together for the good for those who love God, to them called according to his purpose. So as a Christian, you can find something good in every situation, no matter how desperate it gets. So we're going to talk about that today. Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16 says this, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God's really pleased and delights in a sincere expression of thanksgiving for what he has done. Sincere. He says, therefore let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. With, that is, the fruit of our lips. So we should be speaking our praise. Well, I'm thankful in my heart, preacher. I really don't have to speak it. I don't have to get, you know, just come out loud and say it, because, you know, after all, I might change my mind later on. If I said it out loud, people will ask me about it. Well, that don't make sense. Just go ahead and thank him for it. Give him praise. Give him honor. Give him glory for what he's done. He deserves it. Even if you change your mind later because you think it's getting too tough, God still deserved it. I mean, he's brought us a long ways, hasn't he? A long ways. He's done so much. Well, as an old song, he's done so much for me, I can't tell it. I cannot tell it all. As the people of God, we can never give him enough thanks. We can never praise him enough for what he's done for us. He's a great God, a good God, loving, caring God. And I think we owe him our praise. But he tells us to let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Whether you're a Christian or not today, you ought to give thanks to God. Man, he's brought you a long way too. You ought to think about that just a little bit. But today we're going to talk about that a little while. Psalms 50 verse 23 says this, "We offer praise. Whoever offers praise glorifies me. And to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of the Lord." The Revised Standard Version says this, "He who brings thanksgiving as his sacrifice honors me." God, it wants us to give our thanks, to give him thanksgiving, to give him praise, and it brings honor to him. We should understand that as a Christian, you should want to praise God. As a person of God, you should want to praise God. It should be something, actually it should be a second nature in you just to give God thanks. But like I said, sometimes it's easier to grumble and complain than it is to give thanks. Find the bad instead of the good. Well, I'd rather give God the thanks, give him the glory. I smash my thumb, I say, praise the Lord. That might be the first thought that comes to my mind, but eventually I'll get around to it. But you understand what I'm trying to say? We get to give God thanks. So, number one, we should thank God for as many gifts that he gives us through people. All of us have people around us, whether it's family or friends or acquaintances, that do good to us and do things for us, to help us. Most of us have parents we can be thankful for. Some of us don't. I know there are situations where sometimes we can't express gratitude for our parents, but yet they did bring you into the world and they did give you opportunity to serve God. They did raise you up. So we should express our gratitude to God for our parents and our extended families. I'm glad for my extended family. I have some of them here in service with me today, not just one of my daughters and her family, but I also have a cousin and her husband here with me today. My mother's here in service today, and I'm glad for that. And then I have the extended family of God. All of you are part of my family. Regardless of whether you're part of our great denomination or not, you might be a Baptist this morning, but you're still part of our family. And for those of you who don't know why I said that, I'll tell you later on why I said that. But we're all part of the family of God, and I'm grateful for the men and women of God who contribute to the things of God, and so I'm grateful for our extended family. If you're married today, you should be thankful for your spouse. I have a great spouse. There ain't no other woman in this world to put up with me like she does. And if you don't believe that, ask her. I'm grateful for my wife today. She has put up with me for a long time. She tells me every now and then, though, we've been pastoring 27 years, and every once in a while she'll tell me, if I'd known you was going to be a preacher, I would never have married you. And you know what I tell her? Well, I'm fixing to make something up so I won't tell a lie. I tell her, if I'd known you was going to complain about it, I wouldn't have married you. No, I don't tell her that because, you know, after all, I do come up bruises every now and then. So now I've told two fibs right here from the pulpit. Would y'all forgive me? Because I know God will. Okay? I'm just kidding. You know, I'm grateful for my wife. She's been a very dear and real asset to the ministry. And just to me as a husband, she has been great to me. So my attitude of gratitude shouldn't be in bad jokes towards her, which I do every now and again. But it should be, I should express it not just in jokes, but in words of affection and thanksgiving for the spouse that God has given me. So publicly today, I'm telling you, I'm grateful for my wife. Okay? I give praise to God for her practically every day. Every now and then she frustrates me, so that day I skip. But, oh come on, y'all's like that too. You know you are. You act innocent, but you're not. So you have that, you have your marriage, and your spouse to be grateful for, and so they do a lot to enrich your marriage, although every marriage has some difficulties within it. I don't care who you are, you have some difficulties. We all face them. Friends are a blessing to be thankful for. Have you thanked God for your friends? Have you thanked your friend for being your friend? I've got a real good friend over in Eastern Oklahoma, a preacher friend. He's my best preacher friend. And he'll call me every now and then just to say, how you doing today? That's a good friend. I got others, nobody else in this district, in our organization calls me and says, Dennis, how you doing today? You know how I repay him? I wait for him to call me and ask me how I'm doing. He's a better friend to me than I am to him. But I appreciate that man. He calls me and says, I was thinking about you. How you doing? and we talk a while, and we visit, and if every chance we get together for a meal, because he's my friend, and I like to be around him. We don't agree on everything, but he's my friend, and I like to be around him. So I'm grateful for my friends, and I know you have friends too, people that you are close to. You may, and friends like that are people, you may not see them for a year, but when you see them, it's like you just saw them yesterday. It's like you just saw them yesterday, and everything's just the same. So I'm grateful for my friends. We can thank God for those around us who have helped us. All of us have needed help at one time or another. And it might not have been a friend. It might not have been a family member. It might have just been somebody that just saw that you had need and stepped up and helped you. So all of us have had someone that to help us when we were in need. And I'm thankful that there are people that God places in our path to be helpful to us. We met a man just yesterday. And I won't go into the whole story, but we were visiting with him. And through him, he's going to help, quite possibly going to help somebody in our church. We just made acquaintance with him yesterday, and with us talking to him, we told him a need. He says, I can do something about that, and I'm going to do it. Just have him call me, and I'm going to help him. Isn't that cool? Just an acquaintance. That's somebody God put in our path to help somebody, is to do something I can't do. I can't help them, but this man can. Isn't that cool? It's a really good deal. So God is there. So we need to express thankfulness, even for our law enforcement and our medical personnel and doctors and nurses, although you get frustrated at them sometimes. I'm grateful that there's law enforcement out there. I just wish they'd leave me alone when I was speeding. Well, don't you, when you get caught? I don't grumble about it, though. I get my driver's license out, and I get my insurance verification out, and I roll my window down. First off, I get it down before they get up there because they see my hands moving. They may pull their gun. But I said, when they get up there, I say, hey, officer, how you doing? You know you're speeding? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What can I do to make your day better, sir? I do not grumble at them. I don't gripe at them. I don't argue with them. Yes, sir. And it works. But I'm grateful for them guys because stopping a speeder might be a very well. They may have stopped the very person that was about to run over one of my children or my grandchildren or one of yours. They may have prevented an accident or they may have prevented some other kind of infraction that would have harmed somebody. I'm thankful for these people, aren't you? We ought to tell them so once in a while. We ought to offer up a prayer of thanksgiving for everybody that does something for us, those people who give and minister to us. But we forget them sometime. Don't you feel, we all feel like we get left out sometime when a praise comes around. But we don't do it for praise. We do it as unto the Lord. Then he'll reward us, things we do secretly. The Bible says he'll reward us openly. So do things. Do good to, as possible within you. Do good to all people. Do good to everybody, and then be grateful for them. It wouldn't hurt us all to get us a stack of cards saying thank you or bless you or something and send it to somebody every now and then. Just let them know you noticed that they did something good for somebody or for you. And I'm preaching to myself now. I never do that, and I should. Fact is, we bought some cards here a while back so we could start doing that. And you know where they're at? I don't either. They're in the house somewhere. We have good intentions. We all have good intentions. But there are a lot of people to be thankful for. And secondly, we need to thank God. And this is, well, I'm going to get to what's more even more important than thanking your friends. It's we need to thank God for the spiritual gift that he has given us. And that's spiritual life. For spiritual life. I'm grateful to the Lord for saving me. I'm glad that I one day found an altar. And I ask Christ to forgive me of my sins. I'm glad he was willing to do that. He's willing to die for my sins. So the psalmist expressed gratitude to God for the gift of spiritual life in Psalms 116 verse 8. He says, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. See, we're all dead in our trespasses and sins. Every single one of us. If you haven't been born again, you're still dead. You're just a dead man walking. You're still dead. You're dead in your trespasses and sins. You may be living life. You may be living very large. You may be doing really well in life. But if you haven't prepared for an eternal life, you have not prepared for the most important part of your existence and your being. And so I'm glad that Christ saved me. And spiritual death is a present reality for those who have not yet experienced the miracle of new birth. Spiritually dead. I'm glad I came spiritually alive one day. I don't know what it would be like to be dead in Christ. I mean, not to be dead in Christ, but be dead spiritually. Because we have died in Christ when we become a Christian. But I don't know what it would be like. I've been a Christian for so long, I wouldn't know how to act if I wasn't. Well, you act pretty ornery right now, preacher. Well, I do sometimes, but can you imagine what it'd be like if I wasn't saved? John 1 and 12 says this. John 1, 12 and 13 says, But as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those that believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So you see, God is involved in the gift of salvation, and we owe him a lot of thanksgiving for that. We owe him a lot for that. See, God is the divine side of your salvation today. Ultimately, it's not man's will that produces salvation, but God's will or God's grace. His grace is what saved you. You said, well, one of these days I'm going to make a decision and I'm going to start serving the Lord. It's by God's grace that he gives you the ability or the opportunity to say, I want to serve the Lord. And he's drawing you even right now. Ultimately, it's not your will that produces your salvation. Some people put it off, or putting it off and say, I don't want nothing to do with God. But one of these days I will, when I get old and decrepit, you know, don't have anything else to do. I'll get saved then. It might be too late then. Plus, how do you know you're going to get old? You don't know. People die of all ages. Some of them are babies. Every age. So you can't put it off. You need to get saved today. You need to get ready now. The King, Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 9. It's a very, very rich passage of Scripture in my opinion. But it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any should boast. When we were dead, he made us alive. But you couldn't make yourself spiritually alive. It takes the work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary to make you spiritually alive. He paid the price. He shed his blood for you. He satisfied God's need for a sacrifice when Christ went to the cross. He was the perfect sacrifice. And I'm glad for that today, and I hope you are too. But when we were dead, he made us alive. More than anything in the world, more than more money, a better house, a new car, nice clothes, a beautiful family, more than anything you could possibly want, a dead person needs to be made alive by God. That's the most important thing anybody can receive, is salvation through Jesus Christ being made alive. Salvation brings spiritual life to the dead. Well, I don't feel dead today. What if you don't know Christ, you're spiritually dead? You may be really alive in your flesh and really doing all kinds of things and enjoying life to the fullest, but you have missed out on the most important thing in the world, and that is to become a Christian and to have spiritual life, eternal life through Jesus Christ. The most important thing. And whether you, it doesn't matter what you accomplish in the world, if you don't accept Christ as your Savior, it's all for nothing. It's all for nothing. We're going through a process right now, my mother and father-in-law's house, and they had 75 years of accumulation. And when I say accumulate, they had 75 years of things they gathered up. Didn't get rid of nothing. But the sad part is this, and although they were both Christians, but they lived 75 years together, something like that, roughly. Both of them died in their 90s, and so we're dispersing. Here we are, we're getting rid of their accumulation. They didn't take one single thing with them. Not even the clothes on their back went with them. Well, we buried them in clothes in a grave, but their body's in the grave, and they're in heaven, and didn't take anything they accumulated with them. Their bank account, the money and seed, whatever they had, all of it was still there when they left. So what was most important to them? All what they had accumulated? Don't mean a thing to them anymore. The little bit of money they had in the bank? Don't mean anything. What meant something to them? And I always appreciated my father when he'd stand up and I thank God. I forget exactly how it is. I ought to remember exactly how I said it. But he'd always say, I love the Lord, I thankfully saved me, and God's always been good to me. He recognized that he needed a Savior. And he accepted Christ as his Savior. He established the fact that one day he would die physically, but he was alive spiritually. And so when he died physically, he was made more alive than he was when he was physically alive, and now he's in the presence of the Lord. And all the stuff he accumulated doesn't amount to anything. Doesn't amount to a thing. Doesn't matter. So the most important decision you can make is to accept Christ as your Savior. Verse 8 in Ephesians chapter 2 says, it's of faith and not of yourselves. Although men are required to believe in Jesus Christ and believe for their salvation, even the gift of faith is, even that faith is a gift from God, which saves and cannot be exercised on one's own in one's own power. God gives you the faith that gives you the faith you need to become a Christian. He's got to give you the faith. God's grace is preeminent in every aspect of salvation. In other words, it's not of your works. It's not of things you can do. It's what He did. It's what He did. Only Jesus gives us the gift of eternal life, and so we need to offer up a sacrifice of thanksgiving for the gift of new life. If you're a Christian today, you ought to be grateful. You ought to be very thankful that you have a new life. That you've been born again. And then thirdly, let's thank God for leading us in triumph. So you become a Christian, and you're living a Christian life. Paul encouraged the Corinthians to offer up sacrifice of thanksgiving for the spiritual victory in life. So as a Christian, you can walk victorious. Aren't you glad for that today? That you can be victorious. You don't have to be defeated all the time. You can walk victorious. And I'm glad for that today. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, but thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us to triumph. In Christ, He always leads us in triumph. So we need to offer thanks to God for victory over the evil that's within. How many of you realize you still got some evil trying to fight you just a little bit here? Something that's always pulling and tugging at you. But we can have victory over that. We can have victory over that. So we need to offer thanks for that. Some of us, most all of us, one or two of us in here wouldn't agree with this, but most of us struggle with an inclination that makes it easy to surrender to the attitudes that can lead to activities that we are ashamed of. We struggle with that. There's always something pulling within us, trying to get us to do something we shouldn't do, and then it makes us ashamed and embarrasses us. Our weaknesses will embarrass us. And so sometimes we get embarrassed. In Romans chapter 7, however, the Apostle Paul described his inward struggle. He had personal weaknesses, and he struggled with them, and he brings the chapter to a close with a question and then an answer. The question is, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? He gives a recitation of the things that's, how the things that he would do, he can't do, and the things he wouldn't do, he's doing, and how he's fighting this, the spiritual man is fighting the physical man, and these inclinations of the spirit, of the flesh are fighting him. Have you ever fought the fight of flesh? We're supposed to fight the fight of faith, but every once in a while we fight a fight of flesh. And that flesh tries to get the best of us and cause us to do something we shouldn't do that will bring embarrassment to us, our church, our families, and might even get us in some serious trouble if we just give in to those inclinations. But we don't have to give in to those inclinations because we have Jesus Christ, our Lord. And He said He found the answer within Himself when He says, thanks be to Jesus Christ, our Lord. I don't have to give in to that stuff. I don't have to falter and fall. I can live victorious through Jesus Christ, my Lord. So our living Lord uses many spiritual forces to help us overcome evil. He gives us a new nature to start with. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. New creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. So he gives us a new nature causes us to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Your spiritual man is hungry. He wants to be fed of the good things of God. And so God gives you that new nature, and so you hunger for and thirst for righteousness. And then he gives us the Holy Spirit, who seeks to bring about purity within every believer. Aren't you glad for the Holy Spirit? And he seeks to bring about purity through his walking alongside of us, being that paraclete, that one that comes alongside us to help us. And then God gives us the Bible. We have it access, every one of you have access to a Bible. And you can read that every day to get the spiritual strength and help that you need to be a victorious Christian, to be an overcomer. You can read about people who didn't overcome and see how, what God did for and through them later on. You can read about Paul and Peter and James and John. You can read about different ones and how God and how Jesus Christ come through for them. And you can learn how to live a victorious life. And then he gives us a church family. Where we associate, their influence can be elevating to us. As a church member, each of us should be such a church member that we encourage one another. We should encourage one another. We got a beautiful text. My wife got a beautiful text this week from one of our members of the church and tell us how grateful they were for the church. I think that was in there and how they wanted to do something to help the church and become to be more active in the church. And what a beautiful, it's a very long text. I mean, you know, it's long. It's almost a letter it was long. And what a beautiful text and how encouraging that was for my wife to receive that text from one of the members of the church who so far hadn't done a lot but's been very faithful and said, you know, I've been here a while now and I want to do more. I want to do more than I've been doing. I want to step up and I want to do more. That's really encouraging to a pastor, a pastor's wife. Somebody said, I'm going to do more. And I'm not just going to say that. I'm available. And so very encouraging. So we all should encourage one another every opportunity that we have. And then God uses chastisement when needed. Have you ever been chastised by the Lord or felt like he just, getting your attention? Aren't you glad that whom he loves, he chastens? Whom he loves, he corrects? It don't seem good sometimes. It's like a daddy spanking his child. Son, it's going to hurt me more than it does you. And he's like, yeah, right. My daddy used to tell me that. I said, Dad, you're a liar. I didn't tell him because he'd have whipped me harder if I'd told him that. I didn't ever tell him that, but I just took my whipping, you know. But it's like, there ain't no way that's going to hurt you more than it hurts me. But then when I become a parent, I realized what he meant. I don't like spanking. I didn't like spanking. We called it whooping, so I'm trying to be nice, but I didn't like whooping my kids. Spanking my children. They needed it once in a while. And I'm going to throw this out there for all you parents or parents-to-be. If you start when they're little bitty and give them spats, you won't have to try to take them down with your fist when they become teenagers. So what do you mean? You'd fight your kid? I'm trying to tell you something. Correct them when they're little. Teach them, train them up when they're little, and you won't have so much to deal with when they become teenagers and get older. They'll understand what it is to obey their parents. I mean, I don't mean it'll be perfect, but it's going to be a lot better than it is if you just let them do what they want when they're little. Amen? So I'm trying to help you today. Anyway, that was for free. It wasn't part of the sermon. Okay? But God, whom he loves, he corrects. And I've been corrected before by my parents, by my wife, and by my God. I've been corrected. And correction always stings. But most of the time, more likely than not, it's going to be very helpful if you'll listen to it. It's when you refuse to that you get in trouble. But we have also, we can give thanks. We're going to give thanks to God for leading us to triumph. But then as we're talking about our victory in Christ, we can give thanks to God for the victory over our enemy, Satan. We have victory over him. Sometimes we don't think we can, but we do. Through Jesus Christ, we have victory over Satan. Each and every believer has a spiritual foe in Satan. Every one of us. He's our foe. He is not your friend. He's an enemy. And he's an enemy you can hate. And there's no hope for him, but there's hope for you. Understand that. So God wants to help you bring about, or Satan wants to bring about your spiritual defeat and prevent you from being servants of your Heavenly Father. He wants to do everything he can to tear you down, to destroy you, to prevent you from being productive in the kingdom. He'd love for you to just sit in church and never do anything. Sit in church and always have problems. Sit in church and never be able to influence anybody. Never to be able to tell somebody the victory that you received through Jesus Christ over your foe. He'd love for that. But the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8 to be sober or to be discreet. He said be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And the Bible says resist him steadfast in the faith. We're to resist him. Give no place to the devil. Don't give him opportunity. Resist him. He's going to come about like a roaring lion. What's that? To me, it tells me that he can't do a whole lot, but he can get loud. He really doesn't have authority over believers' lives. But we give in to him because he gets loud and he's boisterous and he's intimidating and he's frightening. We don't have to be afraid of the devil. We have victory in him. He likes also to camouflage his presence. 2 Corinthians 11:13-15 says this, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. So, if you don't believe that we have an enemy, think again. We have an enemy. His name's Satan. And he also has workers sometimes that are even in the church. Transform themselves into angels of light, seemingly really good, solid people. But yet they'll tell you a falsehood. They'll lead you the wrong direction. So we have to be careful about that. And if you don't believe that Satan's the enemy of your soul, he's already won a victory over you. He already has you deceived. He's your enemy. He's coming against you with everything he can. But we're Christians and we can walk victorious. But thanks be to God this morning, who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Satan is defeated. Jesus is Lord, and God be the glory. In closing today, let's offer up to God this morning the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Let's verbalize this not only to God, but to those around us every day. We had not to be ashamed of the gospel, nor ashamed of our relationship with Christ. It shouldn't bother us to be in public and say, praise the Lord, or hallelujah, or God is good. Shouldn't bother us. They don't mind putting God down and using his name in other ways. So why can't we verbalize how much we love him? Have you ever heard somebody use his name and it aggravated you, so you just said, praise the Lord? I have. If they can say ugly things about him, I'm going to say something good about him. Because he's a loving God, a caring God, a God that always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. It's only through Christ that we are offered forgiveness. Only through Christ that we are offered eternal life. Only through Christ Jesus do we find a doorway to heaven. So why don't you just let Jesus into your heart today? Why don't you crown him King, Lord, friend, and helper? Huh? Why not today? Why not today? Well, the Lord's calling you. Well, he's giving you opportunity. And church, we're a good church. I wanted to read an article to you. I almost forgot it. Just a little story and I'll close with this. I always get 3 to 4 closings, so this is my second. Well, that's typical preacher. And I think this is good. An old story is told of an African, of a king in Africa who had a close friend with whom he grew up. The friend had a habit of looking at every situation that ever occurred in his life, positive or negative, and remarking, "This is good." One day, the king and his friend were out on a hunting expedition. The friend would load and prepare the guns for the king. The friend had apparently done something wrong in preparing one of the guns, for after taking the gun from his friend, the king fired it and his thumb was blown off. Examining the situation, the friend remarked, as usual, "This is good." To which the king replied, "No, this is not good," and proceeded to send his friend to jail. About a year later, the king was hunting in an area that he should not have known, that he should have known to stay clear of because of cannibals. The cannibals captured him and took him to their village. They tied his hands, stacked some wood, set up a stake, and bound him to the stake. As they came near to fire, set fire to the wood, they noticed that the king was missing a thumb. Being superstitious, they never ate anyone that was less than whole. So untying the king, they sent him on his way. As he returned home, he was reminded of the event that had taken his thumb and felt remorse for his treatment of his friend. He immediately went to the jail to speak with his friend. "You were right," he said. "It was good that my thumb was blown off." And he proceeded to tell the friend all that had just happened. "And so I'm very sorry for sending you to jail for such a long time. It was bad for me to do this." "No," his friend replied, "this is good." "What do you mean this is good? How could it be good that I sent my friend to jail for a year? If I had not been in jail, I would have been with you. And we know that all things work together to good for them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." In other words, I had all my thumbs and I would have been eaten. "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you." Would you just stand today, and as you're a Christian, would you just give God thanks and praise and glory for all that he has done? If you're not a Christian, I would encourage you today, sometime, either right now or later on, to come to make a decision to follow Christ, to ask Jesus into your heart, and to repent of your sins. Come on, church, just give him praise in the house. You can raise your hands, lift your voices, but with the fruit of your lips today, let's give God praise.